A man who can't see, can see. Those who can't see, can't. What on earth is going on in this story from John's Gospel, where a blind man is given sight, and those who can see have no idea what's going on? Hi, welcome to St Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. My name is Stuart, and I get to be the minister here. Welcome wherever you are. Wherever you find yourself this morning, we're so glad that you have chosen to join us here. You can find out all about who we are and what we get up to at our website at st-ninians-stonehouse.org.uk. Please say hi, tell us where you're from and what you're up to today. Today I'm joined by Alan, who's going to read our gospel for us and lead us in prayer later on. So let's dive in.
The reading today is from John chapter 9. Verses 1 to 41. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, you must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was, others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered. "And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does this his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And they worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
We start today with the disciples asking what is a very human question, one we've all asked. What did that person do to deserve that? Or as they put it, who sinned, him or his parents? Because that's how they thought about the world. If some kind of illness or disability happened, it was because someone somewhere had sinned. And sin, they thought, was passed down from parents to children. And that idea still hangs around in our theological thinking. It's known as original sin. The sin of Adam and Eve that's passed down to all of us so that we're all basically fallen and sinful. And that's an important idea in today's story. In the Gospels, illness and demons represent the inbreaking of death into life. So when Jesus talks about bringing life in all its fullness, these healings are a very practical and obvious demonstration of what that actually looks like. Jesus is breaking the idea that illness and disability are somehow punishments. They're not. This man's blindness in this story is symbolic. It's about something much bigger. It's not really about physical blindness. This man is a sign, a living, breathing, walking, talking sign, a sign to help all of us to see. Jesus spits in some clay and mixes it and spreads it on the blind man's eyes. But work on the Sabbath is not permitted. And Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. This has already happened when he healed a lame man in very similar circumstances. The blind man with the dirty eyes is sent to the pool of Siloam, which means the pool of scent. Scent, like Jesus is sent to do work in the light, sent to bring good news, sent to live as God intended, full of life. But the pool of Siloam is also the place where the water for the Feast of the Tabernacles is drawn from. This is a festival that's sort of a mixture between a harvest celebration where the workers come home from their temporary shelters, their tabernacles out in the fields where God has provided a harvest. But it's also a remembering of the temporary homes, the tabernacles that people lived in during their 40 years in the desert, during the Exodus, where God provided for them. As the people wandered around in the wilderness with Moses, the tabernacle was the tent of the Lord. It was the tent where God met the people. And the tent moved around wherever the people moved. And John's first chapter picks up that idea when it says that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, moved in beside us, tabernacled in our midst. So the blind man is sent by Jesus, the Word living among us, to wash in the water used for the Feast of Tabernacles. And when he washes the dirt off, he can see. The water used during the festival reminds us that God is among us and provides for us. And it's that water that helps the man to see. To see that God is among us. You have to love John's style. And now that man can see, nobody recognises him. He can see, but now they can't. It's amazing how that happens, isn't it? We recognise people when we see them in context, but don't recognise them when we see them out of context. When we see someone where we're not expecting to see them. That happens to me quite often when I'm out and about not wearing a dog collar. People don't recognise me. So they asked the man, "Who did this? Who made you able to see?" "Well, Jesus did it. But I have no idea what he looks like or where he is. I was blind, remember?" And the blindness of others continues. The Pharisees get all het up about the Sabbath law. Jesus has made mud, and that counts as working. And that's not allowed in the Sabbath. Jesus has, in their eyes, broken the law. And that's the very centre of the argument between Jesus and the Pharisees. What is the Sabbath? What's it for? What's its purpose? For the Pharisees, the Sabbath is about religious observance, a day devoted to God, no work, not even cooking or cleaning, a day of complete rest. But they've missed the point. And to be fair, they're not the only ones. For years, our ancestors did the same thing too. No going out to play. It's good to rest. Rest is important. Far too often, people see rest as unproductive, and it's absolutely not. Anyone who hasn't slept for a while can tell you exactly how important rest is. Because rest is where our body and our mind deal with repair and recovery. While you're resting, your mind and body are busy restoring you. And the Sabbath is all about restoration of life. It's quite literally a day of recreation. And that's exactly what Jesus does in the story on the Sabbath. This is a sign. Jesus recreates the man, playing beautifully with the Genesis 2 story where God creates the human from mud. And they just can't see it. They're so stuck with their rules and their regulations that they interrogate the man's parents, who want nothing to do with it. They're scared of being thrown out or being caught up in something they want no part of. They're fearful of the power of the authorities, so they basically throw their son under the bus. He's old enough. Ask him. So they question the man again, and they try to work out how many rules he's broken, rather than celebrating that the man can see. The blind man's really sarcastic. Why are you asking? Can't you see that only someone from God could do this? But it's the Pharisees that claim that they can see. This is a little example of the cost of discipleship. The formerly blind man, we'd never get to know his name, is willing to testify what Jesus has done for him. His parents were not, because they know what could happen. And the Pharisees are livid at his answers. You were born and brought up in sin, and you're trying to teach us? And so they throw him out. So much of this story is about the context the people reading the early gospel would have found themselves in. They had been thrown out of the synagogues for exactly the same thing, for believing in Jesus. So here in this short encounter between the formerly blind man and the Pharisees, well, it's really the story of John's community. See. Come and see. Look, I can see. I was blind, but now I can see. And I'm telling you, this guy, Jesus, he is the real deal. He's the one. How could he do this if he wasn't? You can see too. Just open your eyes. Come and see. But they don't want to see. Nah, no thanks. We're okay over here in the dark. We have our power and status and money, and we get to make decisions about what God says and doesn't say, who God loves and doesn't love, who's a sinner and who is not. In fact, just take your light and get out, because the darkness can't stand the light. Darkness doesn't survive in light. The light shows up all that's hidden, all that's secret, all that we're not supposed to see. Because if we did see it, we would know the whole thing is a sham. Once you see something like that, you can't unsee it. It's like the Wizard of Oz hiding behind the curtain, pulling the levers. I love that Jesus comes back to the man. The healing is only partial. Yes, the man can see, but that's only part of it. Life, abundant life, life in all its fullness, is about more than that. And now he's given the opportunity to look upon Jesus and to recognise him for who he really is, to clearly see who stands before him. When the man first met Jesus, he called him by his name, Jesus, and then a prophet, and then the Son of Man, and now the Messiah. He knows who he is. He sees God in him. He sees that he is God, and he kneels before him. But that's not the end of the story. There's a sting in the tail. Jesus said, I came to this world to judge, so that the blind should see, and those who see should become blind. Some Pharisees who were there with them heard them, and they asked themselves, surely you don't mean that we are blind too? Jesus answered, if you were blind, then you would not be guilty. But since you claim that you can see, this means that you are still guilty. Not us, it can't be us. We're not blind. But that's this thing, isn't it? If we see and choose to go back into the shadows, It's us that are consigning ourselves to the darkness. Jesus shows us a different life, a life with blessing beyond measure, a full life. John tells us the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. We have seen, and we cannot unsee. But now we have seen, we have a choice to make. We have seen just as the Pharisees had seen. And now we, like them, have a choice to make. A choice we make every day. A choice we make every time we close our eyes to injustice. A choice we make every time we avert our gaze from wrongdoing. A choice we make when we turn our head and walk on by. A choice we make when we choose our own interests above another's. A choice we make when we look past the exploitation of another person for our own comfort or gain. We choose to remain in the shadows or to step into the light, to stay where we are or to follow wherever God leads us.
Prayers for others and ourselves. Gracious God, we pray for patience and perception. Too often we excel at missing the point. We become trapped by doctrine and dogma and miss the miracle of your healing love. We get lost in the labyrinth of institutions and polity and walk right past opportunities to connect to you and with one another. Bidden or unbidden, you're always present to us. Help us be present to the needs of others. Help us remember families torn apart by broken faith systems of bad belief and violent veneration. Open us to the wounds within, that we might be active in the healing of others. Awaken us to the world around, that we might be present to the pain of the world. Startle us with uncomfortable blessings and welcome burdens, that we might perceive differently and speak the deep truth to ourselves. Bidden or unbidden, you are always present to us. Bless those who are bereaved in our community and give them your special blessing. We pray for all those caught up in conflict or natural disasters. We pray for the poor and the hungry and all the charitable organisations helping them. Enable them to spread the miracle of your healing love. For all these things we pray on the words Jesus taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Enlightened, washed, transformed, all by the presence of Jesus, we go in peace. We go in wonder. We go in love. Blessed by God, known to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, today and always.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you.
The food bank opens for collection on Sunday from 1 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. and every Sunday thereafter. And don't forget, if you or anyone you know needs food, then they can come and collect food at the same time from 1 p.m. until 2:30 p.m. every Sunday at St Ninian's Church. A Lent Bible study continues on Mondays. We're exploring the story of some of the women of Holy Week. You can join us from 7:30 on Zoom. The passcode and ID are on your screen if you're watching the video, or they're available on the website at saint-ninians-stonehouse.org.uk. We'd love you to join us.